Right, Robbo.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
No, there seems to be some kind of loop. I just got 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
That's because that's what I was doing, Pratt. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
No, it's still doing it. All I'm getting is 1, 2, 1, 2.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the programme. All singing, all dancing. What is this, number 7 or number 8? I can't remember.
8.
Is it number 8?
Number 8.
Number 8. Robbo, say hello, Robbo.
Hello, Robbo.
Yeah, Robbo, of course, is producer of this extravaganza. And for those of you who've never tuned this way before, this is the James Whale Radio Show worldwide. Do you like that?
I love that.
Because we have listeners all over the world. All over the world. And so, listen, I'll tell you what, if you actually want to get in touch sometime on the programme from other corners of the world, all you have to do is go to Facebook, get in touch with us, or tweet me, and maybe we can have you on a programme in the future. That would be possible, Robbo, wouldn't it?
Everything is possible on this show.
Everything is possible on this show. You sound so fed up and pissed off. Have I done something to annoy you?
Not yet. I'll tell you.
Are you sure?
I'm okay.
Right, okay. Well, let's say hello to all those people who got in touch. Plus, of course, we will be again attempting a live phone-in on the programme, won't we?
We'll have a go.
If you try, I'll give you the number. Well, it's no point in giving you the number, because if you're listening now, you may be listening in another time zone to when it was done. So although it's live now, when you hear it, I may be fast asleep.
It's all right, we'll wake you up.
Does that make any sense?
No.
No. No, but if you keep in touch via Facebook, is that right?
Yeah, Facebook's the best place to be.
You're going to put out a note saying when we're actually in the studio doing this programme and inviting people to phone in.
I'll do that right now.
Why don't you do that right now whilst I go through some of the things we might talk about on the programme. So anyway, nice to have you with us. Don't forget, tell your friends every week, the James Whale Radio Show. Broadcast, of course, on the internet all over the place. You can download us at the fabulous talentgb.com. Welcome to the fans of talentgb.com. You can get us on Facebook, of course. You can download us. We're on iTunes. We are audio booable. And, of course, you go to my website, jameswhale.co.uk, James Whale Radio, James Whale TV. You can find us all over the net. Tell your friends, download us. Now, I was going to talk about Nadine Dorries, the MP who mistakenly earned masses of money from I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. But I thought, why should we give her the publicity? Should we just sort of drift over her? And then there was another. I was doing a show on Radio Essex the other day, and we were talking about MPs. Who would want to be an MP? Would you want to be an MP? John Major is worried about the wrong kind of people becoming members of Parliament. And there's an interesting story. I don't know whether you saw this. A Welsh MP, well, an MP from Monmouth anyway, Mr. Davis, I think his name is. And he wants... He came out and said this. I find it really quite strange. He wants feckless fathers. Now, what are feckless fathers? Apparently, they're fathers who father children and then disappear and don't do anything to bring them up and don't do anything to look after them and aren't proper parents. He wants them put in a chain gang and made to pay back society for us bringing up his children. But if he is as feckless... or this fictitious, feckless father, as this bloke, the MP for Monmouth, thinks, I would have thought it was better that we brought his children up than he brought his children up. I would have thought we could have done a better job. But here's the story I want to talk about. John Major thinks that politicians are coming on all parties, all political parties are coming from the same sort of socio-economic area, so that the people who politics, the sort of people from the upper middle classes. Doesn't matter whether you're a socialist, because, you know, the champagne socialists or the dyed-in-the-wool Tories or whatever. Doesn't matter who you vote for. But the sort of people who want to go into politics are the sort of people who may well have gone to private school, may have gone into banking, may have gone into the law. The sort of people on the front benches, apparently, of Parliament at the moment, the vast majority are from the same sort of background, which means that you and I... Are you keeping up with me, Robbo?
I'm waiting. Carry on.
Okay. So that you and I, Robbo, are not the sort of people who go into politics, but maybe we are. We should be the sort of people who go into politics.
I'll do it if you want to do it.
Well, I think I'm better placed as an agent provocateur.
Vote whale.
To get people going. But what about, why haven't you gone into politics?
The only way is whale.
Yeah, the only way is whale. At thebbc.co.uk.
No one listens to me. That's why I haven't gone into politics.
Well, there were, if you went into politics, they'd listen to you, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
No, they would listen to you. Well, I think they'd listen to you. You wouldn't have anything much to say, obviously, but they'd listen to you, nevertheless. But I think John Major's right, don't you? I think politicians tend to come from the same background, the same sort of family life. It would be good to get more and more people going into politics.
More normal
from
people.
From different backgrounds. So, people like you and me, we're normal people.
We are. Well, I might not be.
Well, no. But I'm definitely, I'm normal. So I want to start a campaign that makes people realise they can get into politics. The only problem is, if you're not a member of a political party, are you a member of a political party?
No, I'm just a Jedi.
Are you a dyed-in-the-wool Tory?
Might have been.
Are you a champagne socialist?
Could have been.
Are you a sandal-wearing, oats-eating liberal?
Definitely not.
Are you a ranting and raving UKIPper?
On occasion, maybe.
You see, we need more people. You see, you know, everybody has to join a club or a gang. That's the problem, the gang culture. So whether you're a member of the Tory gang or the Labour gang or the Lib Dem gang or the UKIP gang or any other gang, you're more likely to be representing the views, aren't you, of the few that agree with you rather than trying to represent the views, if it's possible, I don't know, is it possible, of the vast majority?
Can I be on?
Rubbish here?
Yeah. Can I be on the fence party?
No. Well, we got too many of those. And if I get another caller from somebody saying, James, I don't vote. I'm like, why don't you vote? I don't vote because they're all the same. And anyway, if I vote, what difference does it make? Well, if we all took that attitude, what would happen?
They come up with a different voting system.
Well, I don't know that they would come up with a different voting system, because if we all didn't vote, who would be them to come up with anything, because there would be nobody there?
I think the voting's down to the hassle involved in doing it. If voting was all done
what
online...
What hassle is there?
Well, you've got to get in your car. You can't do it online, can you?
I thought you could do it online now.
Mind you, I did vote.
You could get a postal vote anyway, can't you?
Yeah, but then you know, got to fill it in and whatever. Can't you just go online and just tick a box?
Well, I'm pretty sure you can, or you were. I do a postal vote. It's easier.
Well, if you can go online and do it, I might have a go this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, mind you. Is it this year? Next year?
I don't know. No, 2 years. Well, 19. How soon we forget. 2015, the next election, or thereabouts. Yeah.
They always keep taking me off the register when I get half a vote.
They what?
They always take me off the electoral register the year the vote's in. There's some sort of scam going on.
No, that just means that you've dropped out, presumably for tax reasons. Oh, you went quiet. So I've got an idea for a brand new television programme.
Right.
Who wants to be an MP?
And what do you win?
Well, you win a seat in Parliament.
And a lot of money.
And a lot of money, yeah, a lot of money. Well, it's not... Yeah, the fringe benefits are good, aren't they?
Yeah, the expenses are good.
Actually, 60 grand a year is not bad. What are we talking about?
Well, that's more than we get.
Yeah, 25 grand a year? Yep. Mind you, at the moment, it'd be nice to get that, wouldn't it? How's the advertising for the programme coming on? Have you done any?
It's doing well. We've mentioned Marmite a few times. I'm sure we're going to get a jar soon.
Yeah, there's the King of Shaves.
Yep.
We're looking for a sales manager, by the way, if anybody's interested. Commission only, to go out and sell advertising and get a sponsorship on the programme. We will take it in hand, because any moment now we're going to run out of money and not be able to do it anymore.
I've already run out of money.
Yeah, well, we're sort of making it up as we go along now. We're going to get thrown out of this studio before long if we don't start making some money.
I've turned the lights off to save on the electric.
Well, I am in the dark now. So I think more and more people should be encouraged to try and get into politics as independents.
Vote Whale.
Yeah, Vote Whale. Yeah, send us a fiver. Send us a fiver and we'll start a new party.
Yeah, that's, can we get idea. Donations from people? Is that how it works?
Yeah, we could do that. Well, if we actually, I did ask you to set up a PayPal account, didn't I? So that we could actually start making money and running the program properly. But of course, as usual, you're a bit feckless. A bit feckless, and you've not done it.
Yeah, yeah. No, let's get it right. You wouldn't give me your bank details.
Well, no, give me your bank details.
Well, then the money will go in my account. I'm happy to do that.
Well, why don't we just start a new bank account where the money goes in for the programme?
I don't think any bank would give us a bank account, would they?
Well, okay, let's... Well, why don't we go with Metro Bank?
Is this your sponsorship again? Well, have you had phone calls from Metro Bank?
Yeah. Let's do Metro Bank, because at least you can take your dog in there and get free water.
Can you do an advert for Metro Bank?
You having trouble borrowing money? Have you thought about going to Metro Bank? Maybe Metro Bank can help you. How's that?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll.
I made that up on the spur of the moment. I think that's bloody good. What do you mean that's fine?
I couldn't tell.
Okay, so who wants to be an MP? And I think that's pretty good. James Whale! James Whale! James Whale Radio Show! What's the number, by the way, if people want to phone us?
0117-230-1771.
Oh, goodness sake. 01... Read it again.
01...
Yeah.
17...
0117...
230...
Yeah.
17...
Yeah.
7...
Yeah.
1.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So, 0117-230-1771.
Do you say O in or zero?
Well, you can say 0117-230-1771. Or, if you prefer, you could say 0117-230-1771. Do you know, when doing commercials, people actually go through enormous amount of anguish about how should we do the number.
On my screen, it's the 4 digits, then 3 digits, and then 4 digits.
Hmm. Well, that's it. 0017-230-1771.
I like that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's do that one. Let's do that one. Actually, if you write this number down and ring it from time to time to see if we're on, usually, I tell you when we usually record this, it's usually sometime after 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
So you could do that. So 0117-230-1771. Make a note, give us a ring, 4 o'clock-ish on a Wednesday, and we'll try and get you on the programme.
They could always leave a message. We'll play it back.
I know. Should we have some music? I think it's time for some music. What are we going to play?
We can play music from the band called Revival. Have you got the details there?
No, tell me. Are they the ones you just emailed me?
Yeah. Why would I email you? Sat right across me.
I know. Oh, yes, of course. How strange is that? Yeah. Hand them over here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, bit of heavy metal.
That's the one.
Yeah, bit of heavy metal. Hang on, just before we do that, all right, how does snowmen get around?
I don't know.
They ride an ice cycle.
Is that one of the jokes from the competition?
That's one of the awful Christmas jokes from Peter Elst. Thank you, Peter. We've had loads of people send jokes in. We ran a competition, which we will tell you the winner of a little later on the program. Andy Swan said, I love this one. What is Santa's favourite pizza?
No idea.
One that's deep pan, crisp and even. Oh, dear. Oh, you're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. A little bit of heavy metal now. Off you go. So a bit of heavy metal, Gone Insane. I know how they feel, from a band called Revival. They're from Manchester. You can download that on iTunes as well. Banging music. I'm still, and great, I like that. That's good. But I'm still looking for reggae.
Can't help you.
We're not getting a lot of reggae, are we?
None.
Now, I want to talk about, this has been a story over the last week that a lot of people have been talking about. This is about Marine A. Marine A, of course, is the Marine who has just been found guilty of killing a wounded insurgent. Well, of murdering a wounded insurgent. I'm sure everybody's familiar with the story. These guys were out firefight. I think it was in Helmand province. And they had to call in air support. After the air support, they were mopping up. They came across a wounded terrorist. And, of course, instead of actually taking the man prisoner, trying to get medical help for him, there was talk about whether or not he was actually alive. Nobody seems to know whether he was alive at that time or not. But they decided they'd shoot him. I'm sure everybody has heard the story. And now, of course, everybody is, well, when I say everybody, there's quite a lot of people saying that he should have the full force of the law thrown at him. The head of the armed services has said it's completely unacceptable and soldiers can't be allowed to behave like that. And he should be shown no mercy. This is a guy, right? He's a sergeant in the Marines. This is a man that we trained, the nation trained this man to go out and kill the bad guys. But of course, we are supposed to, and quite rightly, listen, nobody is condoning this. We can't just allow war to be fought without rules. How dare they? The Geneva Convention states that if you take somebody prisoner, you have to afford them every chance of getting back eventually to their loved ones, and you can keep them out of circulation, but you must look after them, feed them, give them medical assistance. But I think we've got, surely, to give some kind of, make some kind of allowance for people who we put in this situation. Nobody knows how they're going to react until they're there. And it's all very well for people to say, well, you can't do this. You know, one hand you're shooting somebody, you're killing people. The next time you're told, no, you can't kill them, you can't do it that way. Of course, what he did was wrong, and nobody would say it was anything other than wrong. But this is a guy who had just picked the limbs of some of his comrades off a tree where the Taliban had actually hung them just to wind the soldiers up. And there are all kinds of repulsive, horrible things that are done during war to wind each side up. And I'm not going to tell you some of the things these guys saw. But last week, Colonel Tim Collins, one of the commanders from Iraq, a man who became famous because of his rousing speech as he took his soldiers into battle in Iraq, and a man who actually got into trouble for apparently pistol-whipping an Iraqi prisoner of war. He was later found not guilty, Colonel Tim Collins, by the way, and found not to have done anything wrong. Tim Collins wrote a really good piece in the papers last week saying that although this was wrong, you know, we must actually give a man in these situations understanding. You know, we're putting guns in people's hands and telling them to go out and kill. Yet, when they lose the plot slightly, when they behave in a way that they shouldn't, we want them to be punished with the full force of the law. Surely this man deserves some understanding. He is a soldier of quite a lot of experience, being 39 and being a sergeant in the Marines. And rather than making him a scapegoat for the politically correct, and these are the words of Colonel Tim Collins, surely it would be better for society to show him some kind of understanding. And I did put this out on Facebook earlier this week, and we had quite a lot of interesting response, and I'd like to share some with you, and I'd like to know how many more of you would feel this way. Eileen Joyce says, James, I just watched the video on the news. He is totally guilty, and he admitted he had broken the Geneva Convention, and he and his friends thought it was hilarious. He deserves what is coming to him. It is men like him and his friends who get good soldiers a bad name and make them targets. I don't know what you think about that, but I can't help thinking that it is men, not men like him, but, you know, when you go into the armed forces and you are in a certain situation, and had this not been filmed on his head cam, we'd never have known about it. I mean, I think it is a very difficult situation, and it's easy for everybody to say he really deserves everything he gets. But does he? Does he? We're in the 21st century, and we are still arguing our differences like they did in the Stone Age. And I don't believe any of these people on both sides really want to be there. There are two things that occur to me. First of all, we ought to stop telling people that they get a glorious death in battle. It's no different to any other death, is it? And, you know, on the one hand, you've got people who believe that killing themselves and killing other people in name of their God is going to give them a life forever in paradise. And then you've got ministers standing up telling people they're doing God's work when they're going into battle. Can anybody explain to me, as a non-religious person, exactly how religion seems to be at the forefront of all wars? I'm not saying it's the cause. I'm just saying that on all sides, lots of these people, when you are in battle, are being urged on in the name of the God in which they believe. Haven't we got a little more worldly? Are we really still doing this in the 21st century? The answer is yes, we are. Maybe if the politicians who got us into this mess in the first place actually had to do some of the fighting, we would learn by our mistakes. Tim Shepherd says, in warfare, you either kill or you're killed. There's no room for sentiment or doubt that will get you killed or your colleagues killed. As for all you liberal people, perhaps you should go out there and serve. See how you do. The Taliban do not fight by the rules of the Geneva Convention, same as the Nazis didn't, and the Japanese in the last war. Have we already forgotten what two Muslims did to Lee Rigby on the streets of London and the hundreds of our boys' deaths at the hands of the Taliban from IEDs and suicide bombers? Tim, I know and I understand your pain, but it doesn't make it right what Marine A did. There has to be punishment. Surely there has to be understanding as well. And David Heath got in touch and he said, if I was messed up and about to die, I would like a quick bullet in the head. It's warfare, and sometimes the humour surrounding is dark. It's not a nice place and terrible things happen. We can't judge the morality of the battlefield akin to the everyday lives. They're trying to kill each other. That's the terrible point. You know, I'd love to hear the justification. I'd like to get, and maybe I will in a future program, get a leading Muslim cleric and a leading Christian minister and ask them both to sit down with me and talk about how we do justify going into war and that right is on our side, because all sides feel like that. You've gone very quiet, Rob. Am I too deep here, do you think?
You're very deep. But
did we have quite a lot of response to this?
Lots of response. Obviously, a lot of in arguing on Facebook as well, which we could do without. But obviously, it's a very passionate thing to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, some of the ways people argue with each other, I think, you know, this is the other thing. Don't get angry with each other. Make points. Don't sort of start resulting to abuse. I find that really annoying. And that is the one thing that is holding back all these new forms of communication in a way. You know, people wanting to sort of use the internet to abuse people. You wouldn't behave like that to people face to face, would you? So Johan Shah says, murder in the UK is described as the intentional killing of a human being by another human being. Now, if our armies are going out there to be as lawless as those they are going to fight, why go there in the first place? Let them get on with it. Aspire to a higher moral code. Shooting a prisoner over 15 minutes after he's encountered when he poses no threat and is your prisoner is murder. And you're right, it is murder. But we're putting people in a very, very strange situation. We're telling them to go out and kill, but only when they do it the right way. And I think we have to give them some understanding. Charlie Brindley, RE, says, how many Islamists who have murdered been brought to justice? Oh, that's right, none. And finally, Kevin Hartley says, it's quite simple. You grow the balls to go out there, see your friends blown to pieces, and then make your choice. I think most of you will not even be able to go. The worst part of this is the Taliban are already trying to make peace, and when peace is made, men who beheaded people and worse will go free. Will this man get the same? Kevin, thank you. Everybody, thank you very much indeed. Lots of different opinions. The only thing I'd like to know is how are we ever, ever going to find peace unless we actually begin to evolve a little more than we have?
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Now, have we got any phone calls?
Nothing pinging yet. Let me give him a poke.
Give it a poke. Put it out again. And I want to talk a little bit about, of course, the thing that everybody is talking about, this horrendous typhoon that struck the Philippines. I talked about this on my radio show as well, and on my radio show rather than my worldwide online James Whale radio show, if you see. And a lot of people are very concerned that the aid is not getting to where it should be. And I hope it will. Lots of people, though, think we're giving away too much. And that every time there's a disaster, we keep being asked to give away more and more money. In fact, David Cameron said, didn't he, the other day, he said he will match pound for pound every pound that is raised by charities in this country for the Philippines. He will match it with money from the government. It's not his money, is it? It's our money. He's matching it with our money. We're giving money away and he's giving more of our money away. I thought it was quite funny the way he seemed to be taking credit for giving our money away. But there we are. There is only a certain amount of money that we can afford to give, and we should be giving. I mean, some of the pictures coming out of the Philippines, absolutely horrific, and we should be doing as much as we can. But a lot of people feel, and I wonder what you think about this. Get in touch. You can tweet me. You can do me on Facebook if you'll excuse the expression or anything else. I just wonder whether you think we should rearrange the way our international aid goes. Whilst we're giving money, still giving money to India, Pakistan, various other places who are spending enormous amounts of money on nuclear technology and weaponry, whether we should be, concentrating our aid for emergencies like this one, rather than giving enormous amounts of aid away to countries where it doesn't seem to get to where it's supposed to get. Or is that just me falling into the trap of people saying that, but actually the aid does a lot of good? What do you think? Get in touch. Right, so are we got any calls there or not?
I am sending out messages of the topics we're talking about, see what pings back.
Oh, okay.
So bear with me. Right. You carry on chatting amongst yourselves.
Well, that's very kind of you. You carry on doing that, and I'll carry on chatting amongst myself. So I want to do a couple more of the stories we put out. David Dimbleby, this last week. Do you know, I couldn't believe this got to the front page of some newspapers. David Dimbleby decides to have a tattoo. Well, that's fine. I have no problem with anybody getting a tattoo at whatever age you are. But is it really a front page story? Carolyn Smith says, a tattoo of Johnny Depp from head to toe. That's what I'd like. And Amit Patel wants one of Robin Hood. He thinks I should have one of Robin Hood. And I did put out on Facebook and Twitter earlier in the week. What sort of tattoo would you have? What do you think about tattoos? And lots of you did get back in touch. Lucy Jones says, a dragon on your back. Maybe I think I could have a dragon on my back. By the way, if you want to tweet me, I'm on Twitter at The James Whale. That's my own personal Twitter site, The James Whale. You can get on there. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, I haven't done any ads for anything that I'm trying to flog. This coming weekend, depends when you're listening to this, the weekend of the 16th. So you might still have time to get there. I'm in Luton, at the Library Theatre in Luton. So if you're there in the evening, come along, and I'm there with some other authors plugging my book and promoting a new TV show about books, a book show on television. So at the Library Theatre in Luton on Saturday night. Be there or be square. And of course, you can still download The Butterfly Boy, a book which I did the audio version of, which I'd love to know. I haven't had any feedback on that. I'd love to know, not about how you liked the interpretation that I gave it when I read this, and you can download it as an audio book. But I think it's a thoroughly good story. I want to know what you think. So if you can go to Amazon or wherever you download your audio books from, and have a listen. The Butterfly Boy by Tony Klinger. Audio version by James Whale. Back to tattoos. Sally Johnson Green. Why anybody would want to abuse their skin with permanent markings is beyond me. Thankfully, neither of my sons have gone down that road. I hate tattoos with a passion. Sally, have you not got a little tattoo? Not even a little butterfly somewhere?
We've got a call coming in.
Robbo, I heard that.
Well, I don't, you know, get too excited. They hang up if I don't, so I'll edit this out.
Who's on? Who is it? Who is it?
This is Sean. How are you doing?
No, Sean Dilly. I might have flipping
guessed.
It's Sean
Dilly. I've been hearing about this podcast thing you did, and I thought, well, I had to phone up and speak to my James Whale.
Well, listen, Sean, I'm very glad that you rang in today. Sean Dilly used to produce one of my radio shows. Where was that? Talk Radio.
Yeah, Talks. Yeah, that's right. Long ago.
Yeah, a long time. Now, Sean is a journalist, a political journalist, aren't you?
I am indeed. So anything Westminster-based, I'm afraid I'm very boring about.
Okay, right. Well, let's talk about Nadine Dorries, first of all. I'm a celebrity.
Yes, so she's in trouble with the Standards and Privileges Committee. She's been asked to apologise, which she's duly done, after going into the I'm a Celebrity TV show without declaring her income. Some might not be too bothered about that, but if you're a constituent, you might think, wait a minute, aren't we paying your wages?
Yeah, but how much does she earn? A six-figure sum, and she told the House some months ago that she didn't earn anything and she declared what it was.
Yeah, well, she says contractually she's not allowed to say, according to ITV rules, how much she should have been paid there. But
hello, oh, can we get Sean back? Hello, oh dear.
Hello, hi. Mr. Whale, back with you.
Ah, Sean, sorry about that. We had a little hiccup in proceedings.
No, I think it's my end. I thought the thing is, the fantastic thing about this whole podcast malarkey is I was following you on Facebook and they said, give this number a call, and I thought, how could I resist?
Well, listen, let's talk a bit more about our friend Nadine Dorries. So she did apologise, but that was the most insincere apology I've ever seen.
The thing is, I was speaking to Nadine about this at the time, and I know as she's been criticised for by the investigation, she wasn't exactly too conciliatory with the investigator. She's saying, actually, I haven't done anything wrong here. I was just highlighting what happened in the House of Commons with the great British people. Of course, the reality from the House of Commons point of view is the Standards and Privileges Committee say what the rules are, and you kind of just have to bow and scrape a bit. But she actually had the whip taken away from her for a while, James.
Yeah, well, fancy having the whip taken away from you for a while. That's terrible, isn't it? There'll be a lot of MPs who'll be really upset to hear they're not going to have the whip anymore.
You're not having my whip, I tell you.
She's leaving politics anyway at the end of this Parliament, isn't she?
Well, there was some various talk about that because her constituency originally was going to be demolished. It's now not, and there's an awful lot of erring and ahhing on that one. So,
would she get elected again, do you think?
Elected, yes, I think we would. I think it's really controversial. See, I think since you are an occasional presenter on BBC Three Counties, we can plug that fact and say that having spoken with one of the other fine presenters there, a chap called Jonathan Vernon Smith on radio, obviously he, when chatting about these things, there's an awful lot of bad feeling amongst their constituents at the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, she's getting headlines.
Now, let's talk about this as you frequent. I should tell you, Sean Dilly stalks the corridors of Westminster like a man possessed. In fact, you've got a bed there, I hear now.
Do you know what? True story. There is actually a room in the House of Commons. I have a little bit of a holiday at the moment, just about to head off to Prague in the next 24 hours. But there is actually a room in the bowels of the Commons where there is a towel I literally used to lay my head on during the general election. Last time I lived about a month or so ago, it's still there and untouched.
That's disgusting, and you've not washed it. I don't want to know. Listen, just before we run out of time, talk to me about this Monmouth MP who said feckless fathers should be chained.
I'm sorry, you're breaking. I know this is pre-recorded, so I might ask you to ask that question again in a second. I'm going to step off the train. Stand by.
Are you getting off the train? Sure, I should point out that Sean is on a train. I didn't realise you were on a train. It's quite good for that.
It's not bad. I mean, Cambridge Station, though, as we speak, showing that this truly is a national show.
Yeah. So how are you? Are you going from one train to the other?
No, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing, James. There's a very lovely lady called Siobhan, who's my fiancée. I'm meeting her, and we're getting ready to head off to Prague for 5 days.
I won't ask any more about that. Your personal life,
you like.
Your personal life, Mr. Dilly, is your own. Let's talk about this Monmouth guy. David C. Davis is his name, isn't it?
I have to tell you back. I'm so sorry.
I've lost you now. Rob, I think we're going to have to try and get Sean back.
Yeah, he's going to call us back, he said.
All right. Let me just tell you about Sean. He's blind, and he has a guide dog, and sometimes movement is a problem. Not that we need to say that. I mean, he's not bothered. So let's have a couple more of your ideas on Christmas cracker jokes. did you hear about the guy who stole an advent calendar?
No.
He got 25 days. Maxine Clark, well done. Neil Hall says, what did one snowman say to the other snowman? Can you smell carrots? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
And you said you're no good at jokes, James.
I know, but I think I'm getting better, aren't I?
Yep.
So, NAF Christmas Jokes Competition. Simon Tom Calvadis, is that Calvadis, says, James, what do you get if you cross Santa Claus with a duck? A Christmas quacker. Do we have a winner for this competition now?
You pick one. Which one did you like?
Ah, gosh, I like a lot of them. But I think this has to be the winner.
Go for it, then.
Why? And this is Gary Thomason. Gary, congratulations, you are the winner. Why was Santa's little helper feeling depressed? He had low elf esteem.
Well, there we go.
I think that's the winner, Gary Thomason.
Okay.
Well done to you on that. Okay, we have got another competition. This week's competition is for a limited edition copy of Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, Wind Bells on
with,
CD.
With plus bells sign- on.
Win, it says Wind Bells here.
Does it?
Yeah, it says a limited edition copy of Ho, 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 Merry Christmas with bells on. It says Win Bells on.
So it does.
CD. Plus a signed copy of my book. Okay, so you get a chance for this. You can enter on Facebook. What was the name of the Christmas song that I made me in the 80s? Remember, Google is your friend if you have no idea. In fact, the BBC on the radio station Radio Essex I'm working on at the moment are for children in need, getting people to pay them not to play it on the radio.
Your song?
Yeah.
I'm going to play it.
Are you?
Yeah, I'll put it on in one of the weeks. I won't even tell you. I'll just slip it in.
All right. So this week's competition, that's what you get. But you have to name the Christmas song that I made in the 80s, recorded in Leeds. And enter on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page and you can enter there. In the meantime, you might as well keep sending in your NAF Christmas cracker jokes. Well, I mean, it is Christmas coming up, isn't it?
It is. Your friend is back.
Right, we're shocking.
Hello. We'll call this third and final time lucky, Mr. Whale. It's Sean. I'm off the train and a better reception for you.
Good man. Listen, Sean, I'm enjoying this, so I think we should make this a regular occurrence when you're able to ring in and do a little chat about
we'll
your...
We'll always do this. No problem at all. How could I resist?
Let's talk about it's David Davies from Monmouth, isn't it?
David Davies. So it's IES. He's a British Transport Police Special Constable when he's not being an MP.
Now, he should know better in that case than suggesting that, in his view, feckless fathers, whatever they are, should be put on a chain gang and made to pay back their debt to society. I mean, Why would a Member of Parliament say something as crass as that?
Probably because they were being very stupid indeed. I mean, that's the obvious answer to that one. You and I have both interviewed David Davies for many, many years now, and he has a bit of a habit of saying sometimes silly things. I think what all politicians need to be aware of, there's the other extreme. Do you remember the name Matt O'Connor from Fathers for Justice?
I do.
You'd remember that name. Now, the thing is, of course, many of his followers would do silly things like dress up as Banana Man and, I don't know, climb an elephant or something. But I think what we have to bear in mind is that it's never a one-way street. There are definitely feckless fathers. There are
definitely
feckless mothers as well. I think you're talking about a very complicated system, and an awful lot of people would be very offended and upset by the remarks. Do you know what? I guess there wouldn't be much wrong with it if he gave a bit more context to it. I think if someone's not living up to their responsibility, frankly, we can say this on a podcast, they need their arses kicking, James.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I'd also want to talk, and we might do this next time we do a show, after you've got back off your holiday. John Major said he thought he was worried about the same people going into politics the whole time. And I think he probably has a point. But I tell you what I'd like to talk about with you at some time in the future, Sean, and that is how can other people, people who'd never considered going into politics, who for one reason or another consider they're not clever enough, realise that any of us can go into politics as long as we think we can make a difference?
Well, I think there are some notable examples of people who think they've got enough of a, and present company totally accepted here, they've got enough of a public profile. They even, some of them make a career out of talking about how they'd never want to be a politician. And of course, you know, political parties are not always after said people. Yes, you can. Anybody can go into politics. And of course, as you know, we still have a system of unelected lords, despite all the promises, and without passing comment on whether it's right or wrong. But then you look at a name who, funny enough, came up on the BBC paper review the other day, alongside Penny Smith, was, do you remember Helen Newlove? She's now a peer in the House of Lords.
I do.
She lost her husband, Gary.
He was
talking about this whole thing. You know, lippy jobs on the street, basically. Because I have a bit of a problem, I'll be honest. I try not to wind it up, but I sometimes cannot help myself going out and telling them to behave themselves. 2 o'clock in the morning, skateboarders outside of my window. I cannot help it. I go out and have a chat with them. Now, in the case of Helen Newlove, she lost her husband because he did a very similar thing when somebody was trying to nick a car or something like that. Went out to the driveway and ended up getting kicked to death. So we do have people in real life that go into politics. It's just a shame it has to be done in such an undemocratic way.
I think you're right, and I think we need more of them, and that's something we'll talk about at a later stage. Sean, have a lovely holiday.
You too, and apologies for my very noisy surroundings here.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. Sean Dilley, there we are, from Westminster. His thoughts on what's been happening. And I want to finish the show today with talking about breasts.
Ooh.
All right? So, trust you to wake up.
I'm alert this now. Go for it, James. Tell us all about breasts. Yeah.
Some mothers are going to get cash up front, obviously, for breastfeeding their children.
What?
So here's a question. Who's going to check? Now, mums are going to, if you're a new mum and you're going to breastfeed your child for the first 6 months of its life, you're going to get £200 for that. With an upfront payment, well, it would be, wouldn't it? An upfront payment of about £120. But because we're running out of time, I'm going to leave this with you and we'll talk about it next week. I want to know what other things the government could bribe us to do. Because, you know, breastfeeding, apparently, very good for children, we know that. But then walking your children to school is good for them. Not feeding them fast food every day is good for them. What other things should we all maybe be bribed by the government? Mind you, it is our money they're bribing us with, of course, to do.
Supervise the kids.
Supervise the kids, yeah, you should be paid to do that.
Yeah.
James Webb, yeah. James Webb, most famous man in the whole world ever. James Webb.
Okay, well, listen, tell your friends to join us here on the James Webb Radio Show. Thank you to our sponsors like talentgb.com and all the other people who are putting us out. There's a myriad of radio stations that now put out this show. Can you remember them all?
I can remember them all. Can you?
Well, why don't? Well, I can remember London Taxi Radio.
Yep.
I can remember Coast Radio.
Just Radio.
Just Radio.
Who else?
Well, I tell you what.
I gave you a list. Can't you look at that piece of paper I gave you?
Did you give me a list on that?
I did.
Let me have a quick look through my list of stuff here, and see if I've got it.
MyPickTV.co.uk.
MyPickTV, yeah. No, I it's not on this at all. So where that went, I don't know.
Censorship.
Unless I can't see it. Oh, was that the last bit that you sent me?
Yes.
I didn't get that.
In that email that I sent you, yeah. Even though you're sat across the desk from me.
Yeah, I didn't get that one that I'm sat across. So why don't you put that in at the end?
Yeah. I'll do something.
You know, and here's another. I'll just do a couple of things. Tim Shepherd says, on talking about what we should be bribed to do, I think we should be bribed for hitting the morons and government think tanks for coming up with such crazy, idiotic ideas. If their brains were dynamite, they'd not have enough to blow their hats off. Have we got a bit of music to finish the program off with?
Yes, of course.
This is Ashley Tubridy. She's only 11 years old. It's a track from her EP, The Outside In. She comes from Ireland. It's available on iTunes if you like it. And this track is called Dried Up Heart.
Me back, I can't even have a little laugh. It stops me from running, and I want to cry. I can even feel the tears from behind my eyes. Thank you.
Ah, there we are. Ashley Tubridy, 11 years old, and dried up her heart. If you like that, of course, you can go to iTunes, and it's available there. Mm. I'm walking around. Ow! I told you I'm walking around in the dark. Oh, that hurt.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.